Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the Sound. This is Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Thanks for tuning in to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. Well, regular listeners may recall from a few months back, we had a great conversation with a brand new member of the award-winning For the People family of nonprofits. I'm talking about Tri-Circle, which is an organization providing resources for individuals, families, and communities affected by addiction. They're providing education, community engagement, and a great way for you to get involved and get to know the agency with a fantastic event that they have coming up on November 3rd over in Wallingford. We're going to tell you all about that and all about this organization, some brand new and great news from them, and their executive director, Anna Gopian, will be right into that interview. But first, we want to invite you to a very, very cool walk around Bridgeport with paranormal author and lecturer Michael Bailawa. He's going to once again lead two fascinating lantern strolls of historic downtown Bridgeport, and October provides the perfect time to visit scenes of suspected hauntings, Victoria-era murders, men in black sightings, and other unexplained phenomena. Remarkably, this wide variety of mysteries is centrally located within easy walking distance of the Barnum Museum. And these evening tours are going to be happening on October 24th and Friday, October 25th at 6:30 p.m. And each tour is limited to only 25 attendees, so early reservations are suggested. Tickets are just $10 per person if you're a Barnum Museum member and $20 for others. And please note, this program is not recommended for children under 12 years of age. To link to tickets on Eventbrite and for more details on this and other ways you can get involved with the Barnum Museum, including becoming a member or attending one of its other programs, just visit their website. It's barnum-museum.org. All right, Anna, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Good morning to you, too.
So, as we mentioned in the introduction, you visited with us fairly recently, but already there's some exciting developments happening with Tri-Circle. So we'll get to those in just a few minutes. But beyond that introduction, give us a little bit of a reminder of the history of the organization and your relationship to it.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to continue this relationship online. And Tri-Circle is really something that is a vision and hope to be a legacy that I'm able to leave behind, helping individuals, families, and communities affected by addiction, no matter it's someone, no matter on their pathway, if it's homelessness, prison, treatment, living in their home, or otherwise, there's families, guardians, loved ones that are affected by that. And we want to support them or folks that have lost someone due to a drug-related passing. So those are the foundation. But going forward, we do have a long-term vision and goal of a 15-month residential program. I know we had briefly talked about that last time, but it is the eye on the prize. That's what we keep it on. So when it comes to service and community engagement, completely agree that together we are stronger and that connection is the opposite of the challenges that we are trying to face.
Well, that's great. Tell us a little bit about your story and your journey that brought you to be the leader of this organization.
Well, I mean, I always wondered what it would have been like if my family knew how to help and support me. You know, July 13th, 1995, I was able to find recovery due to some friends and circle of people that I had in my life. And I have continuously maintained my recovery since that time. What had unfolded, though, is that I had some additional parts of my story that needed to be addressed, which is trauma and mental health challenges. So in collaboration with the vision, my hope is to have a place where we're able to have an environment safe long enough to be able to get to the story before the story, because I think that sometimes the drugs aren't the problem, but the solution to an older problem we might not know in the short-term stay within a treatment system.
Okay. So as you began to formulate the idea of the support organization, what are a few of the things that you were able to really tackle in terms of getting support and, you know, bringing people together behind the formation and the successful, you know, rollout and administration of the cause? It sounds like you have some really dedicated supporters and, you know, folks that are in this journey with you.
Absolutely. So the groups that we have, Hope and Support and Hope After Loss groups, are all co-facilitated by two paid professionals. One would be licensed and the other has a lived experience within the recovery journey, either it be a person or themselves that has been affected. And any of our support groups, meaning the Hope and Support and Hope After Loss, which is in three different in-person locations, but are virtually available on Mondays and Thursdays, those are all made possible by the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. And those were the foundation of what we did. And then it really kind of evolved into these yearly annual retreat opportunities for people. And then more recently, John, we were able to partner up with Youth Recovery CT and start Smart Recovery and Smart Recovery Friends or Family and Friends meetings, not only in English, but so happy to say that we are the first to have in-person Spanish-speaking Smart Recovery and Smart Recovery Family and Friends meetings.
As you have been conducting these and are now moving into expanding into the bilingual arena for these important connections and support systems for folks, tell us a little bit about what you're hearing and seeing on the front lines in terms of young people. I mean, you know, we just aired a special report last week on isolation and connections. And there was a huge focus on young people who are not only in sort of an epidemic of loneliness post-COVID era, but also, you know, so many young people, and sadly at younger and younger ages, are turning to addictive substances to try to either, you know, fit in or to deal with the stigmas they may feel about themselves and their situations. Are you seeing a lot more folks coming to Tricircle to try to intervene and save the lives of some of the youngest people in their lives and family?
Yes, unfortunately. I'll say that the recovery opportunities for those with addictive behaviors that we work with, either the clinicians that we have that we work with or the people that attend our groups, we're 18 plus. So we're looking at young adults for sure. Mm-hmm. And the numbers are going up incredibly so, with not just substances, but substance associated suicides. Mm-hmm. So the mental health side of things too. Loneliness, you tapped on. I see loneliness as the isolation, and then there's the stigma and the shame and the guilt, just as detrimental as addiction. So we're trying to get opportunities made available for 18 plus people, including English and Spanish, because not only is the youth a challenging time in life, you know, I've already lived through it, you've lived through it. Mm-hmm. It's a hard time, choices, changes, independence, things like that. And, you know, we're always trying to find this sense of approval or belonging. So when I talk about that, I also see in why we started to engage in any of the cultural experiences with people. I am not Spanish Latina female. I have many friends that are, and they've shared with me the cultural differences. So that's why we wanted to have sponsors for and speakers and presenters. If we can have these Spanish speaking opportunities, making it culturally competent, the youth would be in their own environment of the language and environment with the learned facilitators, like they would have been trained to work with us in that evidence-based practice, which is smart recovery and smart family and friends.
Very good. At this point, I should let people know that if they want to learn more about this organization, whether to seek support from it or to support it, you can go to tricircle.org. They've got these fantastic hope and support groups, the Smart Recovery and Smart en Español. They have the availability to subscribe to their newsletter, as well as their Clinical Services Resource Center. Before we tell you about one of the other great ways to support and get to know this organization at their sixth annual gala brunch on November 3rd over in Wallingford, Anna, I wanted to talk just a little bit and let them know what the Clinical Services Resource Center provides.
Well, we have clinicians that offer services. We are credentialed with insurance companies as well. So, we can take insurance, Husky and otherwise. Those things would be taken care of through our credentialing services that we have. We have one clinician now, another one that will be joining us in the very near future. So there's one-on-one opportunities in couples and hope to have some groups available in the near future with our onboarding clinician. So there is that opportunity.
Excellent. So switching gears to November 3rd, I know from doing many, many events or being part of or volunteering with many, it's a huge amount of work. And I imagine you've got a really great and dedicated team that's assisting you for this event. It's happening from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. At the Farms Country Club on Cheshire Road in Wallingford. Tell us more about this upcoming event. I hear you just signed on a fantastic keynote speaker.
We did. We're super excited. And Jay Majors Raposo has agreed to be our main speaker and someone I admire and have watched in his journey of becoming the founder of many things, but the Connecticut Barber Expo that happens at the Mohegan Sun each year. Next year, 2025, it'll be May 17th to 19th. But his journey, his detail of perseverance and tenacity is definitely something to be admired. And he's younger than I, and his journey within the process, society, the challenges and all of that. And just, I think, perseverance is something to be spoken about, and I'm sure he'll be able to communicate that as the main keynote speaker. We also have Keith McGillivray. He is a television news personality that will be joining us as our MC for this fifth year. Very excited to have Keith back. And then Kelly Kaminskis, and she is a mom, a widow, and an author now. So she wrote the book Here With You, and it's for children, but I usually use things like that too with adults, but it's a moving forward kind of story. And she and her small child were able to, move forward in their lives after the loss of Kelly's husband and her son's dad. So those are two of the speakers. Jay would be the main speaker, but Kelly has so much to offer. And then our two scholarship winners will be reading their essays and of their application. So we're really, really, it's a heartfelt experience for sure.
That's wonderful. As November 4th arrives and you start turning your attention towards next year's annual gala brunch, there's another big and exciting piece of news that hopefully you'll be engaging in 2025, and that's possibly a relocation or a new building in Wallingford.
Yes. Well, my eye has always been on Wallingford. That's where I grew up. I grew up on the West Side in the Yalesville section of Wallingford. And I always say that, you know, my active addiction and all that I had gone through was there. And I didn't really partake alone. It's something I want to do to be able to make my continued amends to the society and to my family and then leave something behind. So Wallingford is the town that I want to have our building in. It may be in addition to where we're already located. It would be great because we have provided so much in Meriden and built such great relationships there. But Wallingford has been my focus of where I want to be to have, if not only phase two, a large part of what we're doing moving forward.
And what's your vision for the facility itself?
Well, my hope, so I'll give it to you as my hope, and we're going to see what evolves. I just think it's rich because I'm always looking for the organization's sustainability, so I'm looking for different funding streams. So if we were able to obtain the building that we have an eye on, it would be to have a community center all across the first floor, which would be able to integrate some of our clinical services and then create an environment open for relationships and different recovery pathways and activities. The second floor would be able to provide a limited amount of space for people to live and reside for periods of time, with the third floor having the on-site 24/7 peer support. They would have a live-in opportunity for that kind of a care. Then blended together, we're looking to create life skills. And so the community center would be able to provide that to the folks that were in the residential component. And I say residential, that means like more long-term, but this would be one phase of continuity that we hope to create within the system. We see there's like certain gaps. We're trying to fill those gaps. And that's what this building's intention is to help to fill the gaps and to create more continuity for long-term success.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, I guess one of the best ways to bring this dream to reality is through the kind of support you get from donors as well as supporters who, once again, we hope will turn out. There's a limited amount of seating available for the 6th annual Gala Brunch to support Tricircle, once again happening Sunday, November 3rd from 10 to 1 at the Farms Country Club in Wallingford. And you can go to their website, tricircle.org, for more information on that. In the meantime, we so appreciate you returning to remind us of this upcoming event and all the exciting things that are happening with the first ever Spanish Smart Recovery and Smart Recovery Friends and Family Groups that are happening thanks to Tricircle, as well as the prospect of a new building. We're so thrilled to hear that you'll be bringing Jay Majors Raposo in for your keynote at the gala, and so much more happening with you guys as you continue to give back to the community. Tricircle envisions all people seeking recovery be given inspiration, skills, and opportunities in a safe, stigma-free environment supporting substance-free long-term wellness. We urge you to get to know this organization, partake of their services. If you know someone living with addiction or at risk for addiction, or perhaps consider supporting them if you have seen your way through a situation like Anna has. Thank you, Anna Gopian, Executive Director from Tricircle, for conversation this morning. Best of luck with the event and your future plans. I know we'll be talking again soon. Well, I'm so thrilled to hit the midpoint here talking about an event that we really try to highlight every year, and an organization that's been doing great work for decades. Coming up this Tuesday, October 22nd, the Connecticut Women's Hall of Fame is going to host its 31st annual induction ceremony up in Hartford at the Bushnell to celebrate and honor some of Connecticut's female pioneers and their incredible achievements. I've got a couple of representatives on the line line with us this morning. Gina Clonin is with us. Gina is a founding president of the Connecticut Women's Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Gina. This is a great organization, and you've got a great group of volunteers working with you. Jackie Borges King is also with us. She's chair of the board of trustees at the Connecticut Women's Hall of Fame. We're going to chat with them about this upcoming event and the Hall of Fame and how you can get involved. But we just want to remind you that coming up on Friday, October 25th, the Stratford Health Department and the Baldwin Center are holding their third annual Art of Aging Healthy Living Expo. This community health fair is designed to promote wellness among older residents, and it's going to take place beginning at 10 a.m. to noon at the Baldwin Center over on West Broad Street. The Art of Aging Healthy Living Expo is going to provide you with a variety of activities and resources focusing on supporting a healthy lifestyle for aging individuals. From Reiki sessions and chair massages to a cooking demonstration and aromatherapy, attendees can explore many facets of holistic health. There's also going to be meditation sessions, a CPR demonstration, nutritious snacks, exciting giveaways. Hey, you can even get your seasonal flu and the latest COVID-19 booster or vaccine. And it's all free. No registration is required. So just come on down and stay healthy, Stratford. And, of course, no matter where you're listening, they'll welcome you as well. So here we are with our friends Gina and Jackie. Guys, thanks for being part of the program this morning. Let's start with the Connecticut Women's Hall of Fame founding president, Gina Clonin. Gina, what do you tell people when they meet you and say, what's that Hall of Fame all about?
Well, thank you, John. I want a special shout out to you for your continued commitment to showcasing the work that we do over the past three decades. And what we do is very simply honor the achievements of women by celebrating their legacies, telling their stories, which in turn inspires women and girls to realize their own limitless potential. And I might add that the Connecticut Women's Hall of Fame is dedicated to a simple mantra that says gender equity is as good for men and boys as it is for women and girls. And what we do is take these powerful stories and turn them into educational opportunities across the board, as I said, for women and girls, men and boys, young and old.
Very good. Now, Jackie, did I get that right? You're a former honoree in the Hall of Fame?
No, I am not a former honoree. I'm a lowly trustee, but I'm a very proud trustee of the hall, and I'm now the board chair of the board of trustees.
So, as this program is playing here on Sunday morning ahead of the Tuesday event, there is still time for folks to get in on participating, right?
Absolutely. We really invite everyone to join us. The event will be held at the Bushnell on Tuesday evening, the 22nd, as you stated at the top of this segment. And you can still purchase tickets if you go to our website, cwhf.org, Connecticut Women's Hall of Fame.org. It's going to be a fabulous production. Gina has been a part of the production for 30 years. It's amazing. And we are in our 31st year, so we really invite everyone to come out and join us. It's not just for women. We always have a few good men, and we'd love to have more students, girls and boys, young and old, are all welcome.
Excellent. So, Gina, since you've had a hand in this over all of these years, tell us a little bit about the humble beginnings and how it's grown and changed and really become an institution here in Connecticut, as Jackie pointed out, not just for women, but for everyone in Connecticut.
Well, thank you, John. I don't know if you're familiar, but I imagine you are with the Connecticut Forum. The Connecticut Forum is a 501c3 in Hartford, Connecticut that brings four or five shows on topical issues to the Bushnell each year. And in that premier year, I was a co-managing director, and the last show of our 1994 season was entitled American Women in Focus, Breaking New Ground. And on the panel that year was Faye Waddleton, who was head of Planned Parenthood, Deborah Norville, who was an NBC broadcaster, Billie Jean King, she doesn't need a descriptive, Ellen Goodman, a journalist from the Boston Globe, and our very own Eileen Krauss. And around that major event taking place in front of 3,000 people at the Bushnell, we sought to bring something more localized. And from that great show and that conversation, we began to think about what great women are right here in Connecticut. And we figured that over 300 years of history, there might be a whole lot of women who meet that description. And we partnered with Hartford College Women and Connecticut Public Television, and we began to do the research, and we uncovered these stories. And we're still discovering stories of great women who lived before us and those who live among us.
So let's discover who are going to be inducted this year. Jackie, you want to take that and tell us about these honorees?
Sure. Every year it's really exciting, and the induction committee does a great job in identifying the women that we're going to be inducting. This year, we're really honored and excited to have Sarah Bronin, who's an architect and attorney, a policymaker. She currently serves as a chair of the U.S. Advisory Council on Historic Preservation. And I should have mentioned at the outset, this year's theme is Creative Catalyst. So these women that we're going to be highlighting and honoring are all creatives in various diverse spaces, and that makes it even more exciting to see the entire cohort and how they've each contributed. So besides Sarah Bronin, our other inductees are Melissa Bernstein. Melissa Bernstein, for those who've heard of Melissa and Doug, she's the former CEO and co-founder of that organization and that company, wildly successful in the space of creative play for children so that they can discover themselves and really pursue their own passions and purpose at a very young age and starting that process. And then our last inductee is Barbara Summers, who will be inducting posthumously. Barbara Summers was an American writer and educator, but known quite well for her successful career as a fashion model. With Ford modeling as an African-American woman back in her time. It was very unique and distinguished career. And she grew up in Hartford and attended Yale. So to be able to induct her posthumously along with Melissa and Sarah is really exciting. And then we have another cohort of individuals we call our spotlight recipients. These are also creatives that are doing wonderful, amazing work. One is Crystal Emery, a producer, filmwriter, filmmaker from hails from New Haven, Connecticut. Jesse Lazowski, a founder and CEO and creative director of a luxury brand jewelry line. She's from the Hartford area. And last spotlight recipient is Shelley Kiala, the former executive director of the International Festival of Arts and Ideas in New Haven, which for those who are in the New Haven area and hopefully statewide, you've been able to participate in some of the fabulous programming that Shelley has brought to New Haven and to the state during her tenure.
Excellent. So once again, if folks are interested in getting involved in this, even though it's just a couple of days from now as we broadcast this program, you can go to the Connecticut Women's Hall of Fame website, cwhf.org, and get in on this. And if by some chance you can't make the Connecticut Women's Hall of Fame's 31st annual induction ceremony up in Hartford at the Bushnell, you can still be part of the effort for the Connecticut Women's Hall of Fame as a supporter and volunteer, right, Gina?
Yes, absolutely. We are a small but powerful staff that create incredible programs throughout the year, and we're always looking for certainly for volunteer help, but also, John, I think it's important to point out that of all the philanthropy across the nation annually, less than 2% goes to nonprofit organizations who work with women and girls. So we are always on the lookout for sponsorship, for foundation help, for individual support. We can't do it without you.
So you mentioned other activities, and as we said, with the quick turnaround to this event this week, maybe there are a lot of folks listening that say, wow, what's next on the agenda, or what's coming up that maybe I can actually immerse myself into some of this programming. Can you give us a hint of what's in store in the coming months and into the new year?
Absolutely. I think it's important to note that though we have this incredible first-class event that happens annually in Hartford, we are working every day on educational programming platforms. And those programs reach from kindergarten to senior citizen groups. And I say that honestly, that the kinds of programming that we do are of interest to men and women, girls and boys, men and women, and girls and boys of all ages. So for schools particularly, of course, we have lesson plans, student workshops, curricula guidelines. For adults and employee resource programs, we have all kinds of talks on the road. We have virtual or in-person showcasing lectures on, for example, John, Connecticut's African American heroines. We have a program that's celebrating 300 years of remarkable Connecticut women. We have a program on Latinx heritage. We have a program on Connecticut women global impact. And in this election year, let us not forget that suffrage was hard fought and hard won. And of course, we have a program on votes for women. And then we have customized programs, which are very hands-on and workshops, like STEM FEMS and Finance FEMS, when young students learn about science, technology, and when they also, particularly at an adolescent age, learn about finance. These are hands-on workshops, participating with our sponsorship opportunities. We have a lot of companies who send people to manage and head up these workshops. We have exhibits, we have an Eileen Krause scholarship, and we have a website, which I hope everyone will tune into to learn about the incredible women, to learn about our programming, to learn about who we are and what we do for the other over 300 days a year when we're not at the Bushnell.
Gina Clonin is the founding president of the Connecticut Women's Hall of Fame. Also on the line with us this morning, Jackie Borges King, who's chair of the Board of Trustees at the Connecticut Women's Hall of Fame. This coming Tuesday, October 22nd, is the first of their next array of activities. That is the 31st annual induction ceremony at the Bushnell in Hartford. They'd love to have you, honoring Sarah Bronin, Melissa Bernstein, and Barbara Summers, as well as shining a spotlight on Crystal Emery, Shelley Kiala, and Jesse Lazowski. We hope you can go, and if not, learn about and support the Connecticut Women's Hall of Fame by visiting their website, cwhf.org. Good luck with the event, and thank you so much for being part of the program this morning. Well, any longtime listeners to the award-winning For the People know that we have a great affinity for one of Connecticut's more important offices that's not often talked about, and that's the State Comptroller's Office. We've been very, very lucky to have had either representatives from that office or the comptrollers themselves on this program over the past 30 years or so, and today is no different. A brand new friend, such a new friend that we only crossed paths yesterday, and she was kind enough to say, I'll do your show tomorrow. So I'm so pleased to welcome Stephanie Craig here to the program. She is with the Health Policy and Benefits Division of the State Comptroller's Office. Sean Scanlon, of course, our state comptroller. She works directly with him as well as in the capacity of a communications specialist. We're going to talk to Stephanie right after we send out an invitation to you by the Bridgeport Regional Business Council, the City of Bridgeport's Small and Minority Business Enterprise, and the Bridgeport Downtown Special Services District. They've all teamed up to bring the entrepreneurial community together for the third Bridgeport Entrepreneur Exchange change. Come on out on Tuesday, October 29th at 5 p.m. It's all happening at In the City on Fairfield Avenue in Bridgeport. You'll experience a night of networking, free resources from top organizations, speakers, mentors, and more. This event will give small businesses and entrepreneurs access to valuable information and tools, all while facilitating the introductions needed to be successful both short and long term. To register, you can just go to brbc.org and hit the event tab and look for the third Bridgeport Entrepreneur Exchange. All right. Stephanie, how are you this morning?
I'm great. Thank you so much, John, for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
It was great to learn from you yesterday. And as you were talking about how quick and easy it was to sign up for what we're going to mostly be focusing on today, and that's the Array RX prescription drug discount card. I signed up for one in probably the space of 60 to 90 seconds. So you are absolutely right in how quick and easy it was. Did it right there on my phone while you were talking about it. And now here you are to tell everyone about it in our listening audience. So we appreciate that. Before we get into talking about how we can help people save tons of money on prescription drugs here in Connecticut with this great new program, let's talk a little bit about yourself and your work with the division. This is one of a number of different areas that the state comptroller's office is responsible for, but very few people probably know about it unless they've had to really interact with you guys, right?
Absolutely. Our Office of the State Comptroller is responsible for a variety of different things. But here in the Health Policy and Benefits Division, we actually focus on our state employee healthcare. So if you are a state employee or a participating program from a town municipality, our division here at Health Policy and Benefits Division is the group that helps administer your health plan benefits. We love the work that we do. It's really interesting and engaging, and every day is something different. And we really just strive to make our plan and our benefits the best they can possibly be, which is why so many folks want to come and work for the state, because we do have wonderful benefits that they can take advantage of. Particularly, my role here is twofold. So I support the ArrayRx prescription drug discount card program for the state of Connecticut. But because I focus so heavily on this program and the pharmaceutical space, I also support our pharmaceutical benefits for our state employee plan members as well.
So I know that a lot of savings can result in the power of numbers. And while Connecticut is a very, very small state, if I understand correctly, in certain ways, it still's got a pretty big punch when it comes to joining other states or working with other states on programs like Array RX to help save the taxpayers' money and to gain the best possible outcomes for either the state employees that you're working for, or the state residents who are taking advantage of these programs. Are there other areas besides Array RX that sort of function the same way in terms of being able to show, great savings just because of the ability to team with other states or other organizations in order to achieve those benefits?
So what's really interesting, and I think ArrayRx really helped us open the door for this, is ArrayRx is a state collaborative between the states of Washington, Oregon, Nevada, and Ohio, as well as Connecticut. And because each of our states support the lives of so many individuals. So as a state employee plan, we are technically considered the largest payer here in the state of Connecticut. We are the largest health insurance for the state. We cover many lives, and collaboratively, if we're all working together to, bring our purchasing power together and say, hey, we have all of these lives, so we would like to negotiate some better rates and better things for the folks in our state, that can only be helpful. That can only be more helpful, not only for our taxpayers, and also for our state employees. Here in health policy and benefits, we're so used to really focusing on our state employees. But what's really exciting about this opportunity of working with ArrayRx is that for the first time, you know, we're really able to open up our communications to folks all across our state, which is not something that we're usually used to doing. And so the opportunity to be able to support all of the residents of our state is a really exciting one. And we're looking forward to seeing how some of those initiatives might unfold. For right now, ArrayRx is what we're doing, but you never know, more things could come about as more states join the collaborative.
So how did ArrayRx come about?
Yeah, so Public Act 23-171 was signed into law in 2023. And as of October 1st of 2023, that allowed our office to be able to join this interstate consortium known as ArrayRx. It was previously known as the Northwest Prescription Consortium. What's really wonderful about ArrayRx is, you know, it is a collaboration of states with one goal, which is to bring pharmacy solutions to people in our communities. We are a not-for-profit, and we have several services for public service for public sector entities, and it's governed by the ArrayRx Steering Committee. So this steering committee is actually comprised of government employees across all of these states. We have clinical pharmacists as well as experienced contract specialists with over decades of experience serving in the public sector. And so we're able to really take that responsibility seriously and focus on making sure that since we're not making a profit, we want to make our plan beneficiaries the most beneficial that we possibly can, which is what's super exciting about the program.
So I also think it's important to point out, Stephanie, at this point, that you're not just a facilitator and communicator on behalf of the office and this program, but you also are Connecticut's only representative participating actively on how it is operating, right?
Yes. So I am the voting member for the state of Connecticut who sits on the ArrayRx Steering Committee. Every week, we have the opportunity to connect with our fellow states and talk about the things that are going on, health policy legislation, and other things that are going on in our state to be able to support one another when it comes to, you know, pharmaceuticals and pharmaceutical benefits. We all have that goal in mind to make things easier at the pharmacy counter for our folks. And we're able to really collaborate and work through some of the challenges and opportunities we have across states and it helps us to stay connected and understand what's going on across the landscape. And it truly is an invaluable working group, I'd like to say, when we're thinking about different and innovative ways that we can make the pharmaceutical supply chain a little less murky in our current situation.
Well, what is not murky but crystal clear is that, as I pointed out earlier, if you walk into your pharmacy and there's a line of at least two or three people or more and you're at the end of it and you are planning to lay down, say, $40 for a prescription and you go on and join ArrayRx, by the time you get to the register, there's a good chance that you may be saving, reducing that $40 charge somewhat, if not significantly, because it's instantaneous to the registration.
Yes, absolutely. So the ArrayRx program is a free digital prescription drug discount card program, and it takes about a minute or less to sign up. And once you sign up, you can use your phone, you could use your computer, you can even call and sign up over the phone. You're able to access those savings immediately, which is really exciting. What's also really exciting about the program is that it's truly for everyone. There's no age, income, or insurance status restrictions tied to this card. If you live part or full-time in the state of Connecticut, you have access to this free program that you can sign up and see up to 80% savings on the cost of your medications at 98% of pharmacies across the state.
That's incredible. So if you're a generic drug consumer, that's looks like the area where you save them are able to potentially achieve the greatest savings.
Absolutely. So on average, we see about 80% off the cost of our generic medications. We're seeing about 20% off of our brand name medications. And we also have the opportunity to save on some of those over-the-counter medications that you might need. So if you're someone who's on an aspirin regimen, or you're someone who has diabetes and needs some diabetes testing supplies, anything with a national drug code or NDC level code is eligible for some sort of discount. It's extremely helpful if you're someone who has a chronic condition and maybe takes medication in the long term. We know how expensive that can be as we continue to move forward in our treatment plans. And we want to make sure that people have the best opportunity to make their informed choices and save a couple bucks at the pharmacy counter.
So if people are taking OTC products from their drugstore, how do they learn whether or not they might qualify for discounts through ArrayRx? Is that national drug code something that's just stamped on the product?
So usually what you can do is you can take a look on, you know, a lot of people will go to a search engine like Google or Bing and take a look. And if they type in that information, they'll be able to get the national drug code. You could also ask your pharmacist as well, too. But what I find to be really helpful is actually our website. So if you go to ArrayRxCard.com, there is an Rx tools feature. And you can actually search the name of your medication, whether that's the over-the-counter thing that you're looking for or your prescription medication. You can put in your zip code and set your mile radius. And you can actually take a look and see how much it's going to cost you at the point of purchase at this moment in time. And really cool opportunity, too, is for you to be able to comparison shop. If you are a savvy consumer and someone who really likes to make sure that you're getting the best bang for your buck, the Rx tool feature is the best piece to take advantage of, because you never know, you could be going to your largest big box pharmacy thinking you're getting the best price, but maybe a half mile down the road, that independent pharmacy might actually save you an extra $5 to $10. So if you're willing to, you know, comparison shop, you can have your provider send it to the best pharmacy for you to save the best amount of money.
Wow. That's great. And you did mention that it, part-time and full-time residents of the state of Connecticut are eligible to use the card. So if they live in another state that may not be part of the group of states you mentioned in the consortium, or if they just travel a lot, they still can use the benefits of the card, right?
Absolutely. So although you need to be a part or full-time resident of the state of Connecticut, if you are traveling or if you are at maybe your second home or you know, you travel a lot for work, we actually have a broad network of over 64,000 pharmacies across the country that accept the card. So chances are there's probably a pharmacy near where you're going. You can always use the Find a Pharmacy tool on that Rx tool feature to see where the closest pharmacy is to you at that moment in time to get the best savings.
And talk a little bit about the way ArrayRx may interface with an individual who's on Medicare, Medicaid, or on private insurance.
Absolutely. So we always like to say that this card and this program is a tool in your toolkit. So although it can't be combined with your private insurance or Medicare or Medicaid benefits, it can be used in place of. So I always tell this to folks when I'm meeting them out in the community is, next time you pick up your prescriptions, head to your pharmacist and say, hey, I have my insurance card and I have my ArrayRx card. Can you run it and tell me what's going to have the best savings? Although, you know, if you do choose to go with ArrayRx, it won't count towards your out-of-pocket maximum or deductible. If you can still save some money in the moment, it's a great opportunity. So we definitely recommend you have it in your back pocket, you keep it. You may not use it all the time, but if it's going to help you save on some of that medication, that's some extra money in your pocket that you can put towards other things.
And if there's a number of people in the household that take prescription or over-the-counter medications, they can be individually eligible for one of these cards?
Absolutely. So every person in your household needs their own Array RX card. I have a soon-to-be two-year-old. He has his own Array RX card, as well as my husband and myself. So you can use the same email address and physical address when you're signing up. Everybody just needs to put in their own name and date of birth to have their own unique subscriber ID number.
And if people are hearing about this, whether it's in the workplace, at like a senior center or a community center, or at a healthcare provider, and they want to help educate their patients, clients, or consumers about the availability of this, you've got some help for them too.
Absolutely. So we have created a really comprehensive outreach toolkit for our nonprofits, our town services, our allied health professionals, our pharmacies, and the like. If you or someone that you work with directly connects with the community and thinks that this would be a valuable resource that you could share about, you can actually email me directly, and I can share that information with you. My email address is stephanie.craig@ct.gov, and I can send you the entire toolkit so you have all of the information and resources you need to share with your community.
And resources for the community are available in English and Spanish. As you said, there's no cost for this, but while it's called sort of like a savings card, there's no real paper. This is a digital product, right?
Yes, this is a digital discount card. So when you sign up online, you'll receive your card instantly, not only on the screen once you hit submit, but they will also send an email to the email address that you've provided. If you're someone who is just not big on computers, I myself am in that camp, the call-in number, our customer service line, is fantastic, and you can call and enroll right over the phone at 800-913-4146. They will enroll you over the phone, and you can write down that prescriber ID number and keep it in your wallet or purse for the next time you head to the pharmacy counter. We also, a lot of your local town municipalities, senior centers, community centers may already have our call-in flyer, which actually has a really great pop-out card feature. So you can ask, and if not, they can reach out to me, or you can reach out to me directly, and I'd be happy to send that over to you. So it looks like a little makeshift card. And that was directly created as feedback from our community on the things that they needed in order to feel successful with the program. So we're always listening, and we appreciate the feedback.
Awesome. Stephanie Craig is both a strategic communications director and health policy and benefits division member at Sean Scanlon's Office of the State Comptroller in Hartford. Once again, if you'd like to learn more about Array RX, you can call their customer service line at 800-913-4146, or you can email Stephanie if you'd like, Stephanie with a PH. Craig is Craig@ct.gov. Stephanie, great to meet you. Great to chat with you. And it was great to learn about this program and how Connecticut residents could potentially save tons of money on prescription and over-the-counter medications with Array RX. You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for a guest, an issue, or a PSA for our program that's relevant to the audiences and communities we serve, you must make your request for consideration in writing via email to john.vocat@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program can be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station websites. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Vocat. Join us again at this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime. Just find it under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.